Saint Anthony of the Desert lived in northern Africa, in Egypt, in the 3rd and 4th centuries. This is not Saint Anthony of Padua. This is Saint Anthony of the Desert. And at the age of 21, he went out into the desert to fast and to pray and to do battle with Satan. And battle he received. The devil would try to scare him with loud noises and things like that. Didn't it work? And the devil would even physically beat him. And it did not work because Saint Anthony totally trusted and relied on the power of God. And other hermits started to gather around him, and he would teach them. And he said, Satan is more afraid of the fastings, prayers, and almsgivings of the servants of God than of anything else they do, because these holy exercises inflame their hearts with the love of God and secure their perseverance. So some good African wisdom from Saint Anthony of the Desert, right? And that's what we are doing during these 40 days of Lent. We're doing extra prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We should be doing those throughout the whole year, of course, but do extra, double our efforts during the Lenten season. And as I said here, if you were here for Ash Wednesday, I like to compare the 40 days of Lent to a spiritual boot camp. When you go into the military, you got to go through boot camp, right? They want to test your mettle and make sure that you're able to handle the stress, right? And for battle. So we're going into spiritual battle with the evil one, and we need to be strengthened every year by this spiritual boot camp with prayer, extra fastings, and extra alms givings. And as you know, Jesus spent 40 days in the desert in imitation of Moses, who spent those 40 days fasting and praying at Mount Sinai in the desert there, and had to do it again because the people worshiped the false god, the golden calf. And as I said Wednesday, remember Moses had to throw down the Ten Commandments and they broke it. So I said he's the only man who has the distinction of breaking all Ten Commandments at one time. All right. And he had to do another 40 days of prayer. So he did 80 in a row, prayer and fasting. And of course, the Israelites in the desert for 40 years because they kept being so unfaithful to God. And he said, you're not ready to enter into the Holy Land. You have to be truly trusting in me. But they didn't do it. And so it took them 40 years before they finally got into the Holy Land. And so these 40 days of Lent is really about these catechumens and other candidates throughout the world who are entering into our church at this Easter season coming up. And so we're accompanying them. We get to renew our baptismal promises and our vocation in the Lord as we accompany them entering into the church through baptism of confirmation and Holy Eucharist. And so we are tested as well. Now, whenever you are hungry, angry, or lonely, or tired, get ready for temptation, all right? So look at those four words, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, the first letter of those four words, H-A-L-T, hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, halt, stop, get ready, because the devil is going to tempt you. And if you got all four at the same time, you better run straight to the church and pray. If you're in trouble, but with the Lord, you don't have to worry, right? Because you have the Lord on your side. But usually the devil tempts us when we're at a weak point, right? And all of us have what we call our dominant fault, the usual area where we are weak and where the devil usually tempts us in our lives. So we have to be knowledgeable about what are our dominant faults. Where does the devil usually like to tempt us? And we definitely don't want to go in those near occasions of sin. There was a comic strip in the newspaper one day, the Kathy comic strip, and I think Kathy was trying to diet. And so they had a bunch of frames in this comic strip. The first one, she says, I will go by the grocery store, but I will not go in it. And the next frame says, I will go in the grocery store, but I will not walk down the candy aisle. And the next one says, I will walk down the candy aisle, but I will not look at the candy. And the next one says, I will look at the candy, but I will not touch it. And the next one says, I will touch the candy, but I will not smell it. And the next one says, I will smell the candy, but I will not open the bag. And the next one says, I will open the bag, but I will not eat it. And the last frame says, eat, 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 eat. She ate it. So her mistake was going in the near occasion of sin, right? So we have to know what is our near occasion of sin, and don't go by that person, place, or thing if it's going to cause us to sin, right? If alcohol is your problem, you don't go near a bar, right? If pornography is your problem, you don't go near a website on the computer that has that, right? Whatever your temptation is, don't go near the person, place, or thing that will cause you to sin. And that is a very wise thing. Now, we're all tempted. Everybody is tempted, and temptation is not the same as sin, all right? So it's only if you give in to the temptation that you have sinned, and that we need to go to confession for that. But if you fight off the temptation, then you have actually grown in grace. You have grown in the virtues, and the virtues are like spiritual muscles that have to be practiced in order to grow stronger. And so when we are tested and we fight against it with the grace of God, we become stronger in the spiritual life. Our spiritual muscles grow and we are more easily able to fight off the temptations of the devil. So, for example, you know, the devil can throw a bad thought into our mind. You can't even stop that from just coming in. But what do you do after? That's where it becomes whether you've defeated it or whether you've given into it, right? If you banish it right away with prayer or distracting yourself with something else that is good, you've overcome it and you have grown in grace. So please, you know, distinguish between what is temptation and what is giving in to temptation. So we certainly know that the devil exists, right? And he wants to try to drag us all down. He hates God and he hates anybody who loves God. And so he's going to hate us too. He does hate us. And he wants to drag us down into hell with him. He doesn't want anybody to be happy with him in heaven, with God in heaven. And so we have to fight against all of his works. What were his temptations of Jesus? So the first one, after Jesus fasted for 40 days, you can imagine he was hungry. And the devil said, turn these stones into bread. And if you ever go to the Holy Land and you go to that desert where Jesus was tempted, the stones look like loaves of bread. So it wouldn't have been hard for Jesus to imagine a nice, tasty piece of bread after 40 days of fasting. Have you ever fasted for 40 days from food? Not me either. But some people have. It is physically possible. You have to have water every 3 days and food every 40, 50 days or so. But Jesus was able to quote a scripture against the devil. See, the devil wanted Jesus to live just on the material plane, just on the material fleshly plane. And Jesus quoted scripture. He said, from the book of Deuteronomy, Old Testament, fifth book of the Bible, he says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the importance of the spiritual over the material. Yes, we do need food, shelter, and clothing, basic things, right? But we can give the food up for sure, for a period of time, in order to grow in strength and to focus on the spiritual. Because when we focus less on the material world, the spiritual world becomes more important, all right? That's why we eat fish only on Friday and not meat. Because you know how when you eat fish, about an hour or two later, you're hungry again? But when you eat meat, it lasts longer. Meat is heavier and it weighs you down, but it does satisfy you longer, right? So that's why we say don't eat meat on Fridays, just as a common penance that we can do together. But that's just one little thing. We can easily do more than that and other penances that we offer up as well during the season of Lent. So Jesus defeated him with the word of God, living on the spiritual plane. And when he says man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, Jesus is the word of the Father. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is the expression of the Father. We call him the Word. And he came as the bread of life as well. We actually eat his body, blood, soul, and divinity and drink it in this Holy Eucharist, right? So we're fulfilling that scripture passage to the utmost powerful. We're living on Jesus, the Word of the Father, the Word of God, who is the bread of life. Secondly, the devil wanted to ruin the mission of Jesus. He wanted to make him famous and be a wonder worker. And Jesus' mission was to go to the cross. See, the devil was trying to dissuade Jesus from going to the cross. But that was Jesus' mission. That was his vocation. His calling was to go and die on the cross to save us from our sins. And so the devil wants to do the same to us. He wants us to live on the material plane only. Don't think about the spiritual, he says. And he wants to ruin our mission in life, which is our vocation, our calling to be sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And then third, the devil says, I'll give all of this if you worship me. So I see the compromise. Compromise. You can have everything you want, but you have to worship me. That is demonic temptation. Jesus quotes scripture again, you worship the God alone. Only God can we worship. And then when the devil brings Jesus to the parapet of the temple, the corner of the temple, over the Kidron Valley, it was a 450-foot drop from there. And the devil quotes scripture this time. And he says, throw yourself down, and the angels will catch you. It says that in scripture. It was our psalm today. Lest you dash your foot against a stone. Right? So the temptation to make a sensationalism, a sensational miracle, right? To impress people. That's what the devil was tempting Jesus with. And Jesus quotes scripture again. You shall not test the Lord your God. Even Jesus couldn't use his miraculous power in a silly kind of a way as a testing of God himself. Only in a prudent and necessary way. And so we don't want to fall to those kinds of sensationalisms, try to impress people, but to be humble servants of the Lord. So what were Jesus's defense against these temptations of the devil? Number one, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had just come out of the Jordan River, the baptism experience, and he was filled with this power of the Holy Spirit in his life. He was always filled, but there was an extra experience in his human nature, we could say, the joy of the power of the Spirit. And we need to have that same Holy Spirit in us. We have received the Spirit in our baptism, right? And in our confirmation, we are strengthened with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we should have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit every day. Just like we talk about personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we should have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? Talk to the Holy Spirit. He's one of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. So a simple prayer you could say every day is, come Holy Spirit. Three words, come Holy Spirit. Or the other prayer, come Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created and you shall renew the face of the earth. Right? Or simply, come Holy Spirit. So talk to the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit. He is our God. And he has special gifts that he wants to give to each and every one of you to lift you up and to give you power and strength in the spiritual battle. Second one, Jesus' defense is to know your Bible correctly. Even the devil quoted scripture. So that shows us that everybody who quotes scripture doesn't necessarily mean they're interpreting it correctly. All right, so the devil was twisting it around. He was quoting it, but he was interpreting it in a false way. So we should know the Word of God, the Scriptures, right? But know how we have understood them throughout these 2,000 years of the church history. Understand it correctly. So take advantage of Bible studies. We have the Come Lord Jesus program that we're encouraging people to get involved in. It's never too late. Come and join. And we study the upcoming Sunday's reading or the whichever reading is chosen to study and be prepared for the Sunday liturgy. It's a great thing. Read your Bible on your own as well every day. Third, of course, to worship God alone. So there can be no compromise with the devil, right? So one compromise a lot of people don't understand is horoscopes. And I like to call them horror-scopes because they're right there in the newspaper very readily for people to get involved in, but they are demonic worship. Ultimately, it's demonic worship. It's worship of the stars, which is worship of, ultimately of the devil. And it's false from the beginning. It doesn't make sense because why do twins born under the same set of stars when they were born supposedly have different things happen to them, all right? So it's stupid. But a lot of people get drawn into it. And because it's written so generally that anything in your day can apply to it. And then you say, oh, it works. And then you start reading it every day, and then you're hooked on it, right? So it can become even an addiction. So that has to be rejected. We read our Bible, and you trust in the future for with God. Don't worry about what might happen down the road. We trust in the Lord. He's going to take care of us. And any other kinds of voodoo or witchcraft or whatever out there, it could be a palm reading, any of these kinds of witchcraft, whatever is involved in the demonic must be absolutely rejected, confessed, and put behind one's life and help people to get out of those kinds of things. So worshiping God alone, trusting in God, finally, not testing God, but trusting in God to provide for us. So we're in the spiritual battle. Let us help each other. Let us lift each other up, not tear down, but lift up and pray for one another. And God will bless us and strengthen us through these 40 days and bless our catechumens who are preparing to be baptized, confirmed, and receive their first Holy Communion this Easter. We give thanks to the Lord. St. Augustine said in closing, if in Christ the devil has tempted us, also in Christ we have been victorious over the devil. So we're not alone. Jesus has won the victory. We just got to hang on to him, and we'll arrive at heavenly glory one day. Amen.